You're watching Best Bets right here on the Awesome Odds channel. Dave Lochran and Eric Lindquist talking week one NFL game lines. You might be saying this is a long time away. I get it. But it's amazing how much some of these lines, these money lines and totals can swing over the coming months. So let's get into it right now. We got three games each, three teams each, maybe some spreads, money lines, totals, whatever that is. We're going to hit on them all. Lock them in right now before they change, assuming they change in the right direction. I think they will, Eric, and we're here to break it all down.
Yeah, I'm excited to go. I've got three as well. I've got one team that I'm surprised that you're not on here as well. We've got some. Oh, you are on this team.
That wasn't me insulting you. No, that was when I asked about that. I said, let's go, baby. I'm all about it. Yeah.
All right. You can't have a Dawkins jersey on your wall. You can't have it be bright Eagles green and not be backing the Eagles week one. Maybe I should just go first then here in this spot. I think if we're going to just fire it off.
Let's do it. Yeah, texts and DMs are tough when it comes to context. You know what I mean?
It's true.
We got three each, and I think we got some really good ones. Yep. It's week one. Ways out. But it's going to be here before you know it. This is like Christmas Eve for the next couple. It's an extended Christmas Eve. And then for me, you know, as a kid, waking up on Christmas, seeing all the gifts under the present, what a wonderful experience. Now it's week one. It's that Sunday of week one every year that I look forward to more than anything. I'm pretty serious about that too. So it's going to be here. I want to be locked into some good spots when it gets here. Eric, you go first, man. Start us off with your first one for week one game line, and you can find these odds pretty much anywhere. But if you go to oddshopper.com, we got everything covered, totally free. You can track your bets, set up watch lists. You can type in players' names and pull all of their props up. Whatever you want to do, player futures, team futures, we got you covered. Oddshopper.com. Check that out today. Go ahead, man.
So I'm going to embrace some unknowns in week one. I think there's probably two good rules of thumbs to look at week one bets. You either want to go with the things that you really feel like you know, or you want to go with the things that you don't think anybody knows anything about. I don't think anybody knows what this Philadelphia Eagles team is. +3.5 going up against Atlanta. I'm telling you, this is just a weird number to me because Atlanta, we kind of know who they are. They are a run funnel defense. That's going to be what they're going to try to do. They're going to try to contain Jalen Hurts in the spot. It just doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me that we're seeing 3.5 for them, given how bad this defense is. They didn't make any adjustments. They didn't get anybody in the offseason. Their only big notable signing for Atlanta was Daron Harmon, a safety who got absolutely lit up by the Detroit Lions last season throughout the entire year. They had the fourth most yards that they surrendered on the season, almost all of those through the air because they were the sixth fewest rushing yards that they gave up for the season. So now let's just talk about the Philadelphia side of this. Completely new regime in there, Nick Sirianni. I don't know exactly what he's going to be doing, how much he's bringing in. Frank Reich called the plays in Indianapolis. I'm not sure how that's going to translate for Philadelphia, but what I do know is from a skill position standpoint, we're getting a healthy Jalen Reagor, which I don't know what that looks like. Devonta Smith, how's his game going to translate to the NFL? I just know he was unbelievable at Alabama. I'm willing to embrace a lot of these unknowns. You're giving me +3.5 against a team that I know has a bad defense in Atlanta. Sign me up for it every day of the week.
Jalen Reagor not at practice the first day, or not at training camp for the first day, but listen, that doesn't mean anything, right? I think he had like lower body tightness, whatever that means. I don't think you're crazy. If the Eagles are capable of staying healthy, that's what it comes down to. The offensive line last year had no Dillard, no Brandon Brooks, an injured Lane Johnson. Jason Peters was exhumed from the grave to come and stand on the line and get beat every single day of the week. So there are pluses here. The only thing is like Jalen Hurts had the second lowest completion percentage behind ahead of only Jared Stidham, who attempted 21 passes.
How many games did he play though? That's the question.
Well, no. This is from weeks 14 through 17 is what I isolated.
Gotcha.
I'm not saying that bothers me. When you're throwing the guys like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, you know, and
it's not ideal.
And Jackson was out. Jeffrey was a shell of himself. Anyway, he was out. Jalen Reagor was hobbled.
Good. For a second.
You get Devontae Smith in here, and you get Miles Sanders more involved in the passing game. He dropped a lot of passes last year, but only dropped 2% of passes in his rookie season. I expect to bounce back there. Reagor going into his second year. And they have a second-round pick in Goddard, two first-round receivers, and a second-round running back. Like, they should be good enough this year. I'm with you, Eric. And I'll go to another team that not a 3.5-point dog, but actually a 2.5-point favorite. I'm laying the 2.5 on the Tennessee Titans at home against the Arizona Cardinals. Now, I know what you're thinking. The Cardinals are good. Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins. I get that. But if you're not even giving the tight, or if you're not even, if the Titans aren't even laying a field goal at home, to me, that doesn't make a lot of sense. This team was top six in run blocking last year, had a 2,000 yard rusher, racked up 1,100 yards for AJ Brown and 14 yards shy of 1,000 yards for Corey Davis. And he only played 14 games. Okay. So now take Ryan Tannehill, who was actually very good. He was tied for six in touchdown passes. He rushed for seven touchdowns and supplant Corey Davis for Julio Jones, right? So now you've got Derrick Henry in the backfield. You've got AJ Brown and Julio Jones lined up across from each other. This is going to be a very good and efficient offense, even if Arthur Smith is in Atlanta this year. Play to your strengths. There's a lot of them on offense. And the Tennessee defense, they're no slouch either. I'm not saying you're coming into the league and expecting them to be the best defense in the world, but I think they, at home, they score more points than the Arizona Cardinals. I like the Cardinals offense a lot. They're a good team. But all in all, not even laying a field goal at home with the offense and the overall team that you have, they're a very good team. With that in mind, I want the Tennessee Titans laying 2.5. I think that moves to 3.5, maybe 4 points as we get closer to week one.
Yeah, I love that play. What an oversight by me, not even in the Atlanta segment, to bring up the departure of Julio Jones. That is a gigantic piece that is missing from Atlanta. So if you want to talk about Philadelphia being a little bit better off, I mean, Kyle Pitts, we don't know what that's going to look like. But
we're tight crowning ends, him already as the best
rookie,
tight end
ever. Rookie tight ends never produce. I'm just going to throw that out there. And I love Kyle Pitts. I think he's probably the best raw talent tight end that we've seen maybe ever at that position. Just maybe that's a little hyperbole, but rookie tight ends do not produce. Just want to throw that out there too. But Tennessee, absolutely in love with this offense, absolutely in love with what they're capable of doing. And Derrick Henry just keeps doing it year after year after year. And if you get in any kind of a slow slug game, you can now pair that with the high octane offense you have with AJ Brown, with Julio Jones, just ridiculous the amount of talent they have on that side of the ball. And their defense, no slouch either. So love that play. Well, we talked about the unknowns of the Philadelphia Eagles. How about we talk about something that I do know, and that's that Patrick Mahomes is really good at throwing a football around a yard. He is very, very good. -6 going up against Cleveland at home in Arrowhead Stadium. Probably one of the best home field advantages you can have. I understand Cleveland. They're a darling. They're a team that a lot of people, I know one Ben Ross has been talking about, and I do like Cleveland, but this
Ben Ross and I have been talking about Cleveland for a long time.
I feel like since the day I met him, we talk about golf shows and he's like, hey, let's talk about the Cleveland Browns. But yep. I understand it. I get it. Nick Chubb definitely can just control a game, slow it down. They don't want to get in a crazy shootout here, but a 52.5 total that we're seeing for this game. And I'm telling you, the only hole that you could possibly poke in this Kansas City football team last season was offensive line play. Let me read off a couple names for you. Orlando Brown Jr., he's pretty good. Joe Thuney, Kyle Long, Austin Blythe, a completely revamped offensive line. Yep. If you give Patrick Mahomes more time, we're talking about the best football player, maybe one of the best talents that we're ever going to see play this position as long as we are alive. And you're laying less than a touchdown at home in the opener. That is mind-blowing to me. I think that this could possibly move towards 7 as more public money comes in here. I want to get on it at -6 right now.
I like that. I actually considered that one as well. So basically, win by a touchdown.
Yes.
At home, in the opener, with the revamped line. It's another reason I love Clyde Edwards-Helaire. If you haven't checked out our Awesomeo Fantasy Football channel yet, do that. Type in Awesomeo Fantasy Football channel into the search bar on YouTube. You'll love it. I promise you, we got a ton of content all of the time. If you're getting ready for your drafts or you're already doing them and you just want to get better, I'm personally pumping out a ton of content. It's basically full time at this point, giving you the best stuff out there, obviously entirely free. So head over there, like and subscribe that. And while you're here, like this video and subscribe if you've enjoyed what you've seen today and you think maybe it helps you. Maybe you just like Eric and myself. I don't know. Whatever the reason, check it out.
Probably not.
Go to the Awesomeo Fantasy. Yeah, I mean, why would you like me? Awesomeo Fantasy Football channel. You've seen me talk a lot about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And the reason is, before Le'Veon Bell came in last year, I won't get us bogged down in this, but before Le'Veon Bell came in after week 6, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was averaging over 20 looks per game. He just wasn't good in goal line and red zone situations. Now you give him a brand new offensive line. So you have a guy in Andy Reid who has produced amazing dual threat running backs, both on the ground and through the air throughout his entire career as a head coach. You have Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and you have Travis Kelce. And probably guys like Mecole Hardman and Byron Pringle are able to produce because Mahomes will just put it straight in their hands. I look at the Browns as a team that were good last year, and I'm glad they were, but also one that might be a little bit overhyped as only six. This would mean that they're only 3-point dogs or around 3-point dogs at home or on a neutral
field for sure.
On a neutral field. Yeah. On a neutral field. That doesn't seem to me to make a lot of sense.
I'm right there with you. And I'm glad you echoed a lot of the points that I have there. It's the best team in football. It's getting less than a touchdown at home against a team that, sure, Cleveland was really good last season. Finally, for the first time that we really saw them break through. You're going to tell me Baker Mayfield in opening night is somebody that we want to be invested in with +6 there on the other side? This just seems like a little bit of a wonky line to me. I believe Orlando Brown Jr. to be one of the best offensive linemen in the game. Picking him up, what an acquisition for Kansas City in this spot. Sign me up for it.
And one last thing I'll say on this before I get to my second pick. A problem that comes into play here is Kansas City, their run defense had some legitimate holes last season. And I'm not sure if they'll be markedly improved this year. But it's very tough to rely on your 1-2 punch because I think I think Nick Chubb might be the best running back in the league, but that's for another time.
I agree.
In terms of like pure, like as a pure runner, him and Derrick Henry, but Nick Chubb is just remarkable. But eventually, your Stefanski could be forced to get away from that. And that is when the Chiefs put you in a lot of trouble. If your defense can't hold them back, you can't just keep running in the third quarter down by 3 touchdowns. So, I like that a lot. I like this next one a lot. And you knew that when you and I, you could check this out on the Awesome Odds channel, did our Super Bowl odds last week. Mm-hmm. I went with the 49ers as one of the teams that I liked. I think they were +1,400. Mm-hmm. I love them. Now, usually I'm not taking teams that are laying, 7.5 on the road. But they're 7.5-point favorites against the Detroit Lions. That is crazy to me, okay? Think about this. Forget about everything you saw with the Niners last year. Literally, wipe the entire season off of the board. None of that matters. If they come back healthy, and I assume right now that they will, we still have training camp and preseason, but right now, if this team comes back healthy, I don't care whether it's Garoppolo or Trey Lance, who just signed like a 4-year, $34 million rookie deal. Mm. I don't care who it is. They've got a good offensive line. They're going to have a damaging run game, and they're going to do just enough in the passing game, and their defense is going to be markedly better than it was last year. I think they could win this game by 20, Eric. Hell, I may take an alternate line on this. Like, the Lions had the worst defense in the league last year. No one gave up more yards. No one gave up more points. Only a couple teams gave up more yards in both the rushing run game and the passing game. They've made some adjustments, and it's an overhaul. But this overhaul, you're just expecting them to click in week one? And it's crazy to me. And then you got Jared Goff supplanting Matthew Stafford. They lost Kenny Galladay. They lost Marvin Jones. They lost Danny Amendola. I don't care how good DeAndre Swift could be if you're playing from behind. This team is not going to be good. San Francisco is good. They got like the 5th best odds to win the Super Bowl, and they're 7.5-point favorites against the Lions. That's all I need to say. That's my favorite one of all of these, hitting it second. The Niners, 7.5-point favorites against the Detroit Lions for week one.
Not to put you on the spot, but do you know who the new offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions is?
I do, and I can't remember his name. I actually just did a video on it. It was Bevel before
it's
he took
Anthony
over as the
Lynn. Who? Anthony Lynn is That's the new right. offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions. Need I say more? We're talking about a guy who had every skill position you could possibly want with the Chargers and could not get it done. Just probably one of the worst head coaching jobs all of last year. So I'm happy to be targeting Detroit there. But that's kind of my segue into my final pick as well. I like the money line here. So you could go to the -1 if you really wanted to. But just -125, the LA Chargers, the darling, my team that I am going to be backing throughout the entire beginning portion of the season, at least until they let me down, I'm sure. Then I can jump ship. But I feel pretty confident that we're going to see a completely different Chargers team here than we've seen in years past. They're going into Washington. Obviously, we know the Washington football team, the kind of defensive prowess that they have, adding Fitzpatrick in there as well. They've got great skill position players in McLaurin and Gibson, but I'm looking at a 44.5-point total. I mean, this is a low total. I love the total even maybe a little bit more than just backing the Chargers. Might be a nice little parlay that you can put together for week one. That's going to be an interesting spot to go to. But my main thing with the Chargers, You have a revamped offensive line for Kansas City. It is really revamped here for the Chargers, picking up a Pro Bowl center from Green Bay. And then Rashawn Slater, who I believe probably to be one of the best left tackles I've ever seen play college football at Northwestern. Basically, Northwestern's offense in the Big Ten was just running behind Rashawn Slater for, you know, as many downs as they humanly possibly could. The guy is unbelievable. He's going to slot in right away at left tackle, be protecting Justin Herbert's blind side. He's going to do an immaculate job in the NFL. If you're not going to be picking Orlando Brown to possibly be the Pro Bowler out of the AFC, I'm thinking that Rashawn Slater as a rookie could be kind of backing that. But we've talked a little bit before, talking about our Super Bowl preview odds. We have Derwin James coming back here for the San Diego Chargers team. And if you get any resemblance of what he was in 2018 before he just ran into a litany of injuries in 2019 and 2020, where he played only 299 total snaps there in 2019, I'm absolutely in love with this Chargers defense and their ability with Brandon Staley, who I think is kind of a mad genius. His 1 year with the Rams, we saw the Rams jump to number one in just about every single defensive metric last season. I love the Chargers on both sides of the ball. Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Austin Eckler, sign me up for all that has to do with the Chargers here this season.
Even Jared Cook is a fine tight end on that team. Mm-hmm. Like, they've got pieces for sure. Now, were you saying parlay Chargers money line and the, was it the under or the over?
The total, the under. Yeah, 44 so, and a half. I just don't know. I feel like both defenses are really, really good in this spot.
What I was going to say is there are actually some books right now, like FanDuel, that will allow you to do those same game parlays. You know, DraftKings, a lot of these books won't allow it, but there are ones out there that are allowing same game parlays. And I mean, that's an interesting one to me. Yeah. Look, and a lot of times the winning team, you can correlate the reason that most books don't allow it is because
they're correlated plays. Yeah.
Yeah. So if that's the case and you can do it, take advantage of that, because if you're doing it right, you could definitely win. And again, oddshopper.com. You check out all of those odds from across all books. It's called Odd Shopper because you can shop from all of the different books available to you and find the best odds. If you're going to be a good, sustainable, have a good, sustainable career or even hobby as a better, there's no doubt that being able to shop around and find the best odds at different books is the way to go. All right, my last one here, Eric. It is the Miami Dolphins +110 money line at Gillette Stadium against the New England Patriots. And I'm going to throw this over to you and ask you a question, because I look at this team and I say, okay, Tua Tagovailoa didn't prove much last year. I actually got benched mid-game by Brian Flores to bring in Fitzpatrick in two different occasions. It's the right move. They have a good enough defense. Actually, the defense is good. And an offense that I'm thinking is still going to be a lot better than the Patriots offense this year. Now, one caveat is that Xavier Howard has just requested a trade because he doesn't like that in 2019 he signed a contract as the highest paid cornerback in the league, and now cornerbacks are getting paid a lot more because it's 2021. Just besides the point, right? Do what works for you, man. I don't hold it against anybody. Get yours. But if he's not there, then that's different. But even if he's not there, who are you really worried about? Like, who needs the Xavier Howard shadow coverage treatment for the Jacoby Myers? Like, who is it going to be, man? Sure, Damian Harris could be a nice little sleeper pick in fantasy leagues this year, but whether it's Cam Newton or Mac, are you really worried too much about this Patriots team? I think their offense is going to stink again, at least early on. And I think the Miami Dolphins were not a fluke last year. I anticipate them being a pretty good team. And if that's the case, instead of taking them at +1 or whatever it is, give me the Dolphins at +110 all day long.
I guess I'm having like visions of Cam Newton week 1 and week 2 being like the second coming and then just being abysmal the entire rest of the season. One of the worst quarterbacks in the league, it seemed like, from Cam Newton. I don't trust anything about that offense. Yeah, Jacoby Myers being your #1, probably not an ideal situation as an NFL team to have a former quarterback turn into your wide receiver one. I really don't know what to make of the Patriots. I don't know if it was like an age-old question getting answered last season, whether it was Belichick or Brady, considering Brady had some of the best skill positions around him you could ever ask for in a million years. But I definitely think Belichick will make some adjustments, but I don't think it'll be enough. I definitely love Flores. I definitely like backing Miami here week 1 with you.
Cam Newton, threw more interceptions than touchdowns last year. He's going to have to improve that if he's the starter. I get it. The guy can run. He ran for almost 600 yards. He rushed for 12 touchdowns. But that offense stagnated. I mean, all year long, that was a very stagnant offense. They were one of the worst in the league. So if that's the case, I think the Miami Dolphins come in there. This should be a close game for sure. But I'll say this much. If you're betting the Dolphins here, I don't see why you wouldn't just take the money line and bet them to win this. So, Eric, three up on each side, three down. Which is your favorite of the three heading into week one?
Kansas City.
Okay. For me, it's the Niners laying 7.5. I just have zero faith in the Detroit Lions to be a competent football team this year, especially early on where the chemistry is lacking with a complete overhaul in a lot of the defensive positions. But anyway, that'll do it for us. Hit Eric up. Where can they find you on the Twitters, Eric?
At Eric Lindquist. Super easy. Eric with a C.
Simple as that. And check out everything he's doing on the regular Awesome-O channel, MLB content, PGA content, right here on the Odds channel. You can follow me at Laughy _D, L-O-U-G-H-Y _D, and head over to Awesome-O Fantasy Football, pumping out content every day of the week, get you ready to win those drafts. And, of course, right here, getting you ready to take down some solid bets in week one and further on the Awesome-O Odds channel. Catch you back here for the next one.